Okay. All right, we'll take up the University of Missouri Extension update. Thank you. Thank you.
Well, as usual, we are busy. I guess a couple things I would like to start with. The program director announcements. Willa is still doing the Science Saturdays at the Taney Hills Library. Our next one will be January 16th on digital photography and filmmaking. And also, our agronomy intern, Colin Hill, is working on planning the Taney County Livestock and Forage Conference. Actually, they're having that meeting today over at our office, working on the planning for that. For myself, as far as concerning basically Taney County, I've done two health insurance classes since I was last here. The first one in November, I only had two people attend, and then I did one December 3rd in Branson and had 10 attend. And as just regularly on the evaluations on these, people say that this program is worth their time, that they will share the information with others. So it's getting out there, and of course, this is about the marketplace, how people can enroll in insurance, what the penalties will be, how can they avoid the penalties, who has to pay a penalty, et cetera, et cetera. Crystal and I gave the third program in the NEC, National Enzyme Company, Supervisory Series training in November, and there's some information on that. We are also working with them to do a series for their upper management starting in February of next year. And then Willa's report for 4-H is on the next sheet. In addition to what I've already mentioned, she is involved in shooting sports. They have a range day for that, doing different rocketry programs with the Buchanan Intermediate Science Club. And then she is continuing to put out a 4-H in Taney County Facebook page, newsletter, web page. A 4-H rocketry guide is out and regular articles for the Taney County Times. Next is Barb Beck, who is our FNEP, Food Nutrition Education Program Associate. And Barb is just really busy as usual on her upcoming events. Some things that I wanted to point out, a lot of them are just continuing. She's still doing the after-school program, Eating from the Garden with Buchanan Elementary. She's doing training for first grade classes in Forsyth Elementary, first grade in Buchanan Elementary, and first grade in Cedar Ridge Elementary. And then she also does different things at the Senior Center here in Forsyth as well. And then Colin Hill is our agronomy intern. Unfortunately, the Taney County Hay School that was planned, that he worked on, was canceled. There were not enough people signed up, so they're looking at doing that again late winter, so early in 2017. And Colin is continuing to do farm visits and consultations in the area. And then finally, our human development specialist, Jim Worth, has done a lot of programming in Taney County over the past month, including caregiving tools, dealing with depression and emotions, emotional healing. He does English for non-English speakers or English language learners classes. He also does enhancing and exercising your memory, goal setting, managing change, and managing holiday stress. So a lot going on. The other thing that I'm really gearing up for right now, last week I was in Springfield all week attending training and presenting some training for VITA. So we have our volunteer training coming up. Our volunteers are, we're lining them up right now, and actually I have quite a few new volunteers this year for VITA. So we will have three sites again in 2017 in Taney County, a site here at the Taney County Extension Office, a site in Branson at the Taney County OCAC Office, and a site in Hollister at the OTC building. So, questions or comments, or what can I do for you?
So how many, last year did you, what was the numbers for Taney County?
Well, we did 1,200 overall, and last year, if you'll remember, which probably you don't, we changed from desktop software to the online TaxWise program in the middle of the season. And so because of that, we could not get numbers split out for Taney County and Stone County.
I remember that, yeah.
Yeah, the way we had to switch over, what happened is we did a lot of our returns on the Stone County identification number. So, but this year we're totally online, so we should not have that problem.
That's all I have. Thank you.
Thank you.
Thank you very much, gentlemen.
Court orders.
Morning, gentlemen.
Morning.
And the first set of the court order abatements is the personal property paid abatements. When you look at it, you'll see that there's only evidence for like one of them, but all three of them is the same personal property. It's just three different tax years on it. And it's a refund abatement, duplicate assessment of cargo trailer tilt titled in one person's name and assessed and paid under a separate account. The trailer was actually 2008 instead of a 2006. And that's all of them that's on the personal property paid abatements.
Could have been a 2007, not a 2006, or 8.
It says the trailer is actually a 2008, and I'm showing where they deleted a 2006 on the pay for it.
Where it shows where they paid for it on their actual personal property, though, not under the business name? It's showing 2007. Will that change the value at all?
I don't know about that one.
I don't know the personal property.
Because they paid it under a separate account. And they're saying it was a 2008, and he's showing that it was a 2007.
They paid the value of a 2007. They sent you evidence that it's 2008. I'm asking.
It says six.
That's showing where they paid it, though, for a 7.
Okay. You got three different...
And now there's where it's showing it's a 2008. All
right. You got three different years. Do you want to verify anything for us, or what do we need to do? I mean,
so your question is what now?
So the evidence they gave us of what the trailer is on the very last page is a 2008. Is that right?
Well, the notes say, in the notes, it says that the trailer was actually a 2008 model.
Okay, I have this piece of paper right here, and I don't know where this came from.
Is it a personal property
nope.
Tax pay?
Okay, yep. It says
2008.
Right.
Has the address, has the VIN number, has the title number.
Okay.
And this shows that they paid on 2006.
But they paid it as if it was a 2007.
It says 7.
Whenever they paid it on there. I don't have a problem getting rid of the dupe, because it looks like they paid it under both accounts.
And they also paid for it under the wrong year, so they corrected the year as well.
But they didn't change it. The year that it was corrected to is still the wrong year.
Now, these bills that you have are or the or the wrong assessment, the previous assessment. We can go get you the new assessment that shows where, it should show a 2008.
Where it says 2013 personal, okay, hold on.
All of these are paid bills.
But is it not showing, so this one here.
That's wrong.
Is that not where it's showing, hey, we paid it under this account and not under the other account?
Right, but those are the ones we're correcting. That's the 2013. That's the 2013 that we're correcting.
Okay. So you have the new values. Where's the new bills that show it's under 2008?
They didn't print you a new bill. I don't think so. I think this is the corrected one, isn't it?
That, which is
2006.
They paid it. And
my understanding, Brandon, is they're trying to correct it to the, that's why they sent you that deal you held up that shows the right year. And these are the ones that they paid were an error. Two issues, the wrong year plus to the wrong account, and that they paid it twice.
But is the new bill the 2008 or 2007?
It would be an 8.
It will be a 2008.
Okay. So there's two wrong years.
Yes.
They had the wrong year plus they paid for it twice. They paid for it twice. Under
but they had the wrong year twice.
Yep. That's why I'm saying it.
Okay. Make that Exhibit A. Move to approve Exhibit A dated December 14, 2015.
Second.
All in favor?
Aye.
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 Motion carries.
I believe in your folder it should be erroneous assessments are next. And they are abatement numbers 202174 through 202185 and then 202187. On the 7-4, per bank request, corrected structure description, which
we had a bank call on this particular one, and I don't know if they were refinancing or it was a sale, but they brought to our attention there was an old mobile home, and it had been replaced with a quite a bit newer ones, so sent Tim and Roger out, and they got it corrected to the newer home.
Huh? And the value still decreased.
I'm talking about Crutchfield, the
first
from 174.
Those are well older.
Okay.
Okay, that's one of them. I'm fine with that. You're going through as you go through.
75 structure should be structure number 2 should be exempt.
What happened here, Kenny and Roger reassessed this. It's a condominium project, I believe.
Westgate.
And in reassessment, in years past, they would add on something. And as we're going through reassessment, they're taking that addition and put it into the building. It's one number. And when they did that, they failed to exempt the addition that was on there. They added it into the other building, but they forgot to take it off.
77 square foot and component adjustments was made on this one.
gentleman came in, sent Roger and Kenny back out to look at it, and there was an error in the measurement, square feet.
78 is components corrected.
We got a call from this gentleman from Emerald Point. He owns two houses out there, the same house, same blueprint, the whole bit. And they were quite a lot different in value. Kenny and Roger went out and remeasured them. And
had that guy been to BOE, that yep. name?
None of these.
I just wonder if it's last year or something. The name is familiar. That
VLC? Or are you at Blair? Are you on Baumgart?
Baumgart.
No, but there was one pretty close to that. I think I know which one you're talking about, John. And it was a Tenicomo Terrace Hollister.
Okay. I just the name just seemed.
Yeah.
79 corrected residential measurements. 12/20/15.
So one went down and one went up?
Yes.
Uh, 80, exempted, incorrect values, change from commercial to residential property. 182.
Hold on, please.
Yep.
Garth that you're looking at, I guess Brandon is, if you look at,
sent the letter, the condo letter in?
Sent the condo okay. letter in, yeah.
I'm ready.
181, non-residence mobile home with cabana constructed around and above.
This gentleman came in over Merriam Woods. We had it assessed way too high. Put back out. It wasn't finished on the inside. Got the pictures there in the office if you'd like to see them. Plus, on top of that, we thought it was a new structure. There was new construction around it, but it was a mobile home that had been built, added on to.
Is that right along F Highway?
Right along F Highway. Yeah, you all seen it when you go by there.
Yeah.
182, change from commercial to residence per condo letter. 183, change from commercial to residence. 184, change from commercial to residence per condo letter. 185.
Slow down. 183 doesn't have a condo letter with it. Did you have it in your office?
No, I don't.
Nice and sharp.
Brandon, this one is kind of across from old IGA and up in the neighborhood. I trust we do have a letter. I don't know why it's not in there. But it's a regular apartment-type building.
Okay.
And we shouldn't have sent them condo letters out. They don't rent them on a nightly basis, deal.
184, what'd you say that was?
Change from commercial to residential value for condo letter. Hopefully there's a letter in there. There it is.
You show percentages in front of those deals. Do you have percentages on those? Will you say that on this? It says change from commercial.
That's one, on 185.
Okay, am I one ahead?
You're one ahead. You're one ahead.
That's the way I stay all the time.
Change from commercial to percentage residential and percentage per commercial per email. I did not see the email. I just seen the letter here.
He verified it with an email, which I've got in the office. If you have a desire to see it. Save time. I just have him email me instead of sending another one in. What happened is, I guess, got us last week. Probably when Lynn sent it, she hit the sales letter on the attachment instead of the condo letter.
Which one are you looking at, Danny?
125. Last name is Sadler.
185?
185.
Reason I said that, what is the percentage sign on that one when it's not on some of the others?
If they don't rent it at all, then it's 100% residential, but if they rent it some nights, then it can be in there 5%.
But do they list that here when we abate it? That's my question.
But all these that we're abating, leave on, safe to say all, these are units that were 100% residential. They didn't rent them at all. Now, there have been some that came in that they sent their letter in and they had nights, and then there would be a percentage. But I don't think any of them today had that.
Okay.
So does that mean if I have a piece of commercial real estate that I don't have rented out, I can have that changed to where I don't have to pay on the nights it's not rented?
Are you serious?
Well, it's the same thing.
It is. As I told you guys before, this is what we were doing when I got here, and I looked at the procedure, talked to the state, like I talked to some other counties as well. I couldn't find a better way to do it. But, you can take a motel, Brandon. You got to pay commercial 100%
year round,
whether you're renting the room or not.
What about an office complex? If it's not rented out, I still got to pay the commercial real estate.
Commercial business. Right on, but it would tickle me pink. You'd have lots of other people that aren't so happy, but if we made them all commercial, I mean, we wouldn't have all these condo letters, we wouldn't be going through these, but that isn't what we came up with, and Danny experienced that years back. James would put them on for, 70-30 or 90-10 or whatever. His guest, and that didn't work out so well. So, again, what we were doing when I got here was this procedure that I'm continuing to do. Again, if there's a better way to do it, I'd love to hear it.
We had two gentlemen come before the BOE that had an attorney with them, and they stated at that time, whether it be correct or whether it wasn't correct, that the percentage of nights, if they could prove percentages, and they brought along sheets in here of nights that were rented and nights that weren't, and it was an odd percentage that it came out to, 68 or something like that. It wasn't 70 or wasn't something that you did. But we had to make the adjustment on BOE according to how many nights were there. According to that attorney, it was something to do with state law now, but I don't know.
There was a case, I want to say Shipman was the name, and there for a while, if it was available for rent more than 50% of the year, it went on commercial. Mm-hmm. And that kind of ruled there for a while, but it got overruled somewhere.
Anyway, the reason I asked the question is because it showed that percentage in front of this one that we're were abating, and the others didn't have it.
And the other deal is you're using it as your summer home maybe half of the year, and the other half you put it in the rental program, and that's one angle you look at it. So, again, you got a better idea. It's a pain for us to send out the letters and the process we're going through today. Don't get them set by and changing them every 2 years. Not a fun thing.
That's the only question I had on that, Brandon.
And the last one under erroneous, 187, changed to 100% residential. And I'm looking to see if there's a letter there. There is a condominium letter with that one.
If I remember right, there's no verification on any of these condo letters, right? We're just taking their word for it?
Right.
Is it Reagan that said trust would verify?
I called Branson on one I can remember right off the top of my hat, and they looked up and told me, I think that was one that we had last week. They originally sent me a letter saying they did not have any nightly rentals, and I checked them because I got a report from the manager that they did have nightly rentals, and Branson was free to tell me that, yeah, we do collect sales tax, they have nightly rentals. But they didn't offer the nights, so I don't know if we could get in there and get that info or not. That only be one city grant.
Is that Exhibit C?
Exhibit B.
B.
Move to approve Exhibit B with today's date.
Second.
All in favor?
Aye.
Aye.
Aye. Motion carries.
Next one I have is real estate paid abatements. So this will be a real estate refund. It's a paid abatement. There was a clerical error. Condo was on as commercial value and should have been on residential value.
Got paid before we got it to you guys, right?
From what I understand.
Yeah.
I have no documentation with that sort.
Did she send the condo letter
yes.
in?
Barbara Stuckey. Yep. Talked to her on the phone as well.
Move to approve Exhibit C with today's date.
Second.
All in favor?
Aye.
Aye. Motion carries.
And the last one I have is a clerical error. It's the number is 202188. And it says clerical error, assessor failed to lower value to the sale price.
That didn't mean anything.
And, well, there's a letter attached, and it was my failure to get it changed. He came in 2014, brought the sale or a settlement statement. This is on the Musicland campground. And I don't know what happened. I didn't get a change.
But he didn't come before BOE or anything in the process? Or
He trusted that I had it changed because it was in my office. And if y'all don't want to prove it, he can take it to the state tax commission.
How can he take the state tax commission if he didn't go to the BOE?
Well, it's not a guarantee that he would be heard, but there's a pretty good chance he'd be heard by the fact that the assessor admitted that he failed to get a change. I failed to get a change. And then...
So, and I'm doing it well, anyways.
The way that I see that, though,
I'm not trying to be complicated with this thing, but he had two opportunities last year and this year to come to DOE, right?
Right. The reason he didn't, that he would have, if I had felt like it should have been changed, I would have told him to come to DOE. He came to my office across the desk from me and brought me his information. Sold me on the fact that it was overvalued. At that time, we still had Bill Evans. I had nothing to do with that. There's no question that he was in my office, and I agreed to change it.
I don't know if this is the proper channel to change it in, though. Because essentially, we're acting as the Board of Equalization without any... I mean, there's no... We have a letter from him saying this is what he purchased it for. That's all we've got.
No, you've got the settlement statement as well. And the term is erroneous, and it's my error.
It's also decreasing it to $139,000, which is value of what, $600,000 in real value?
Mm-hmm. That's what he paid for, $600,000.
No, the decrease amount that you're... If you add the percentages, it ends up being around $550,000, you're decreasing the value of the property?
Well, probably so.
So you're decreasing something $550,000, and it's not even gone before the BOE to present a... what has to be presented there? Either some sort of...
Usually an appraisal.
Or something.
But not always. The BOE does just... I did. I took the settlement statement that convinced me that it was overvalued. The percentage is the percentage. I understand your point there.
Again, I don't know if it's overvalued or not.
Well, it was on the market. I think he said in his letter for like
2 years.
2 years.
According to his letter.
Where we get fair market value. But again, if you don't want to, I mean...
It's not a matter of want, it's a matter of feeling comfortable.
Okay.
I don't feel comfortable doing it. Do you, Danny or Mike?
I don't, or I wouldn't ask the question.
Move to deny Exhibit D with today's date.
Second.
All in favor?
Aye.
Aye.
Aye. Motion carries.
That's all I have, gentlemen. Thank you very much.
Thank you, Wesley. Did you add the exhibit on the side there and all that fun stuff?
What's that?
Who added the exhibit on
this? I did.
Thank you.
Yeah, thank you.
With that. Place to mark approved or disapproved?
Yeah.
I like
so
that.
So I marked the first three approved, the last one disapproved.
Thank you.
And I'll pick up the folders this afternoon.
Let me just leave it right here.
Property and liability summary with Aulis, Akers, and Arney.
Morning, Fishing.
Morning.
Thank you.
the Police and Commission in front of you, you'll see a summary spreadsheet.
Can you guys state your name?
Sorry, this is Jeff Eiserman.
I'm sorry, my name is Jeff Eiserman. I'm with Hollis Acres Arnie.
Rusty Meyer with Hollis Acres Arnie. Thank you.
In front of you, you have a premium summary on property and liability insurance last year versus this year. And you can go through line item and see where increases or decreases in specific values related to property, mobile equipment values, liability limits, automobile with number of vehicles. And you'll see the total premium down at the bottom, with this year's premium being $373,779. This is also somewhat of a moving target since we've become engaged with the county. We've been in work with your team to get updated numbers on vehicles, lists of equipment, and those have been being or in the course of being updated. And so, in full disclosure, this total number that you see here will not end up being the total number that you'll see. There's going to be some more changes that are going to be coming through.
Go up or down? I don't know.
Don't know. It's probably going to, my guess is it'll be going up. Even this morning, we found approximately 15 or 16 vehicles that were not on the list. So those numbers are going to change some.
What about those vehicles that the, I don't know whether you operate off the 10-year value depreciation. We have several vehicles that drop below that point, especially in Roden Bridge, where we have a vehicle that's over 10 years old, and then there's a limited amount of value to mm-hmm. that. And then another thing I was going to ask you is, as we do in the past,
we have added facilities at parks throughout the county. Mm-hmm. And when those things are added, do we need to make a phone call with the address or location?
Yeah. HR has been very good about helping us with updating, like Jeff said, vehicles, property, number of employees, all that stuff. So, Ruth and Don will update us with any of those changes that would go on the policy itself.
So why the large increase? Were we not, you said you found 16 vehicles or 16 that weren't, does that mean they weren't covered in the past?
There were two things that were, it is very possible that that is true. And so it's been our job in the course of the last 2 months since we've been engaged to make sure that our lists are correct and updated. And so there are going to be vehicles that are going to be, that potentially could have missed the list before, that are going to be on the list now. Several updates to property locations also, with updates in property values, because if there is a fire or a tornado or a loss, those will be covered at replacement cost, not the actual cash value. So whatever it costs to actually replace the building is what they need to be insured for. So we've been updating those building values as we've gone along too.
Do you set the value?
We do replacement cost estimators based on a system called Marshall Swift Beck, where we can insert the building values into the system and it'll generate a replacement cost valuation. And then the insurance company will also weigh in. They'll do their own valuation also.
With an adjuster?
Correct. In other words, they'll adjust those values accordingly based on what they see. And because of that, it helps in the event of a loss, if they've helped determine that value, then we know that when it comes time to pay, that they'll actually pay that value.
Another reason for the increase was because in 2000, for the renewal for 2014, it was discovered that MOPRM had made a clerical error, and that the error was very large, and it was in the county's favor. And I don't know, we don't know if the agent at the time reported that to you or not. But it's come, that's part of the increase as well from 2012. I'm sorry, for the renewal of 2014.
Didn't we get a check back for something?
Yeah, it was for $20,332.80.
Were we not supposed to get that or something?
You were supposed to get that, but and that is in regard to the refund that is distributed amongst the members.
Okay, the members of the
exactly.
That's right.
Because that's cool.
Right.
So it is a pool of sorts, and right. So you would be eligible for the refund.
The refund is completely separate than what the clerical error was.
Okay. That is correct. So in other words, the clerical error was in your favor for 2014, and they didn't go back and make an additional.
You need to pay this now.
This is a correcting based on that clerical error, knowing that the information that has been presented to them now is true and accurate.
Right.
Now this renewal, the clerical error. This renewal is MOPERM the.
Yes.
Okay. So they recognized that there was a clerical error, that they had cost themselves money and not the county.
That is correct.
Yes.
Okay.
In the law enforcement liability portion of your policy.
Okay. Are you, what are you, this is just an update?
Correct.
There's nothing concrete about the decision, or there's no decision to be made. There,
I mean, yeah, it is what it is. I mean, this is the renewal going. I mean, this is what it is.
I guess if there would be a decision to be made, it would be to approve the invoice amount that you see, the $373,779, knowing that there will be a future adjustment at some point once we get everything updated. And then my question to the commission would be, do you want to see us back with a full explanation of exactly what those changes are and what that adjusted amount was, or do you just want the approval?
We would want it. I'm just speaking as one. We would want it back. You to come back. Now, you're making this to us today, but what I'm wondering is when it. And you'll be back before the first of the year because you're covered from first of the year to first of the year, right?
Well, that is correct. You're covered from first of the year to first of the year. This renewal would include all of the information that we've already submitted to them. And any changes that would come, it is our goal to get those processed prior to the end of the year. But there could be changes that will come after the year.
Right. Well, there could be additions. Just like I said, there's going to be park projects and other things that will be added too, and they would come out. But what you're I guess what I'm trying to understand is you'll come before us after the first of the year if we approve a number that you send in to us, maybe before then.
Dan, if you will approve it whenever it comes to our accounts payable.
I know.
This will help with budgetary process. Rather than that, this is just a summary update.
Mm-hmm. I know that. What I'm trying to get is the coverage of the first of the year, we'll need to know what the number is in the meeting as we go through the accounts payable, right? I mean, we've got an estimated number here right now. We don't have a concrete number for liability insurance.
Right.
And after the first, we'd like to have that before the first of the year when we approve your policy.
As long as MOPERM can get all that updated and processed, we will definitely be back to provide that information to you.
Okay. That's what I would like.
Okay.
Other than having a number that might fluctuate $20,000.
Sure.
You see what I'm saying?
I do. So you'd like a more accurate number
right
as soon as we can.
As soon as possible.
Yes.
And that hopefully before the first of the year.
It's going to change anyway. Mm. Like it's going to change even after the first of the year.
Yeah, I don't care about that. I'm wanting to know the concrete number between now and then.
We sell two or three things on Purple Wave vehicles that goes down, and then we replace them and it goes back up. Or is that right? Okay.
That's where I went earlier, though, Brandon. There's vehicles that are
Right.
That shouldn't even, when you're talking about 16 or 17 vehicles, it might not be on there. There's Ford trucks that are back in the 90s. There's dump trucks. There's right. equipment and everything else that's on Purple Wave that'll be sold that probably it may be on the last year's inventory, shouldn't be on this year's inventory.
That is correct. And so that number, you're right, this number could easily change.
Yeah.
And it'll be our goal to get MOPRM to get that processed as soon as possible, knowing that the invoice amount that you currently have cannot be changed, and that a further, you'll see that further adjustment in a further invoice. And
with that further invoice that comes through accounts payable, that's where I'm going with the whole thing that I've...
You want an annual summary of what that is, close approximation of what that
as you can, and any additional come through and be added to. So that's the reason I brought it up. If you can come to us before the first of the year, and you may not be able to get it, but you will have a number at that point, and then any additional come through us and be added to through an invoice.
Okay.
All right.
Yes.
So next week.
It'll be our goal to get that to you by next month, by next week.
When we have that number, do you, Brandon, are you thinking that they're not going to need to come before us again? Or
if it's a huge number, I would. But if it's not, then I don't. I mean,
I can't imagine anything.
We can submit that through the same channels that we submitted this to you today.
Just and then just have. I mean,
Ruth and Dawn.
It depends on what these guys want, but yeah, Ruth and Dawn can present it to us. Say, hey, this is what they came up with.
I know that we have a.
Or you can come back and,
if you'd like us to, sure.
Yeah, we have a news media that would be interested in knowing what it was.
Do you want them to come back?
If it's a huge increase, yes.
Why don't you gentlemen plan on coming back?
Okay.
We'll have the most updated number for you.
Okay. And have you checked with Randy? And I know Don may be working with that, but the amount of equipment and stuff that we've... Because we've got a large amount of stuff this year that's going on Purple Wave.
I have checked with Randy on that. They're not sure what the actual sale date will be, and so that's going to make the difference if it's going to affect the policy or not. If it's sold before January 1st, it will affect it. If it's after, it will not.
Okay. All right.
Okay.
Thank you, gentlemen.
Very good.
Thank you very much.
Looks like we're scheduled next to executive session per section 610.021.1 contracts upstairs in the conference room. So we'll recess upstairs.